Blog Talk Radio.
Even Walt D. Muhammad speaks. The program is dedicated to unity, dignity, and justice.
The book you've been waiting for is here. A book that unlocks all the mysteries of yesterday and today. A dynamic book of clear understanding. As the light shines from the East by Walt D. Muhammad. This new book is filled with interesting and thought-provoking topics like pollution, opposition,
Dr. Bond.
Discrimination,
language,
culture,
America,
beauty,
the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and many, many more.
As the light shines from the east by Walt D. Muhammad will amaze you, will humor you, and yes, even shock you. Get your copy today. To order, send $2.50 plus 50 cents handling and postage to WDM Publishing Company, 4855 South Woodlawn Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60615. Act now while supplies last. Immediate delivery. Special discount rates for schools, bookstores, and commercial businesses. As the light shines from the east by Walt D. Muhammad, the book of the year.
And now, Imam Walt D. Muhammad with the first of two parts.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
We greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Dear beloved Muslims, visitors, friends, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Sta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa la nakfuru. All praise is due to Allah, guardian, creator of the heavens and the earth, of everything that exists. We seek him for aid. We believe in him with complete faith, and we do not separate from him. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله I bear witness that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah alone and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger, servant and messenger of that Allah. Here in the Quran, the second chapter titled Al-Baqarah, which is the cow or the heifer. My mother used to say heifer. So, the cow or the heifer. And I'm only going to read one reference from this chapter. Moses was addressing his people to call them to obedience to Allah, obedience to God. And they were guilty of a sinful thing, and he was speaking in their language to them. And they were pretending not to know what he was talking about. And they repeatedly asked him to make himself clear. When he was describing a certain cow, a certain heifer, that they had as a sinful idea, they would ask him, make it clear to us. And they said, إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا. Surely all cows are alike to us. Which was a double tongue, forked tongue. Although the cows were alike to them, the cows were also very different. And they pretend to be believers. They pretend to be righteous, God-fearing people. To believe it, they pretended to believe in Allah. And they said, and if God's will, we shall be guided rightly. So in his last description of that he was making clear to them, he said, he said, meaning God said, Moses said, then of God, that he said, surely it is a heifer that does not humble itself to till the earth or to water the crop or the field. He said, peaceful, having no blemish, no spot, no mark in it. And they said, now you indeed have come with the truth. Then they slaughtered her, that is a cow, although they had no desire or no will to do it. They were doing it against their own will or mind. In this modern society, we are the victims of the kind of religious leadership that's described here in this metaphysical or allegorical text. We have had religious leadership that carry themselves very piously. They keep a holy image. They're peaceful, humble, meek in appearance, but they are not out here in the society with us trying to correct our problems. They don't cultivate the intellect, and they don't improve upon human spirituality. The people are not advanced intellectually by them, and they are not advanced spiritually by them. They keep the people in primitive superstitions while claiming to be modernizing them, and they keep them dumb academically while claiming to be educating them. The Quran is a timely book. It's always on time. And what Moses was addressing in this Quran still exists as a problem for society today, and we must address that. This religion is a religion to cultivate the mind, the intellect of the individual. It is a religion to elevate human spirituality, to purify it, to bring clarity to your mind and make it possible for you to practice faith in God, in His prophets, in His angels, in the last day, in His judgment, to practice faith in all that he has commanded us to believe in with understanding. This is the beautiful religion. It is not a religion for just one facet of life. It is a religion for the whole of life. This religion does not appeal to the hoodlum. It appeals to the God-fearing. This religion does not appeal to the witch doctor. It appeals to the rational person. We must understand that. All praise is due to Allah, who created everything and has endowed humanity with limited free will so that we can come into the knowledge of his graces and be elevated above ordinary creation. As his custodian, his trustee, isn't it wonderful to know that Allah has ordained that each and every one of you be his trustee in this universe? To be responsible for yourself, to keep yourself God-fearing, to keep yourself innocent, morally speaking, to keep yourself innocent and God-fearing, and in some activity that reflect obedience to God. And he who serves society best is best in the eyes of God. That's the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, and it is the spirit of the Quran. There is no such thing as obedience to God and separation from society. We are not hermits. We are not ascetics. We are not monks. We are not priests and nuns. We are natural human beings. And Allah says in the Quran, had the earth been populated with angel communities, he would have sent an angel as a messenger. Being that it's populated by mortal flesh and blood human beings, he sent mortal flesh and blood human being, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him, as the messenger. One of the attributes or names of Prophet Muhammad is the flesh and blood mortal man, natural man. That's one of his names, the natural man, not the spooky man, not the monk, the natural man. No one can become a believer in reality, or a true believer, until he or she first have an attitude of heart to permit that faith to come in. If we don't have that correct attitude of heart, if our sentiments, our desires are against true worship of God, our correct faith, then trying to convert that person while he's having or she's having that attitude only excites their emotions to be more violent, more hostile, more rebellious. Goodness offered a person whose intent is to be bad is rejected. And sometimes it's rejected with display of animosity, and sometimes desire even to kill you. Why? because an unnatural mind is fighting to preserve its unnatural state. And you're appealing to it to come into a natural mind. If it comes into a natural mind, then the unnatural mind will have to die to its unnaturalness. So that wicked person fights for the unnatural state because that's his life or her life. Just as we fight, we'll fight for our physical life. But this shouldn't surprise us. We are not here to gather devils for God. We are here to gather the righteous for God. So it shouldn't bother us when we get this kind of attitude or when we meet such attitudes in people. We have already been warned that there are those who have even received the Word of God and have understood the Word of God, but have rejected it, and they play the hypocrite. So aren't they devils? Anyone who will take the Word of God knowingly, take righteousness and truth knowingly, and use it by distorting it, twisting it, or changing it from its natural or truthful context, and use it to bring people to disobey God and to bring people to falsehood, they are nothing but devils. They may not be the Satan himself, but they are devils. Righteousness is a prisoner. Righteousness exists under strain in this world. Righteousness must accept to live in a prison in this world. Until righteousness has been made the order of this world. No believer in this religion should expect a life of ease in this world. You shouldn't expect to be free as a believer in this world. You're only free to execute good judgment under the guidance of God. But you are not free to open up this world for our religion. You are not free even to open up the world for your aspirations. So you have to live as a person in prison. Your righteousness is behind bars, so to speak. And you have to accept that state for yourself while working to remove the prison. It's best that the believer put him or herself in prison, because if the world is containing you, then you are really serving the world. But if you are containing yourself, then though you're in prison, you're free. So we know what we are facing out here in this world. And nothing in this world can put hardship on me more than I've already accepted to put on myself. For Allah's sake. This is the month of Ramadan. Ramadan has been translated to mean the month of extreme heat. The month of extreme heat. We know that this month, because of the lunar calendar, it rotates through the year. That is, it rotates through the seasons. Sometimes it's in winter, Again, it's in the spring and summer and fall. It rotates through the season and come back again into winter and rotate through the season. In Saudi Arabia, at this present time, Ramadan there is fairly hot, but it could be hotter. There will be a time when it will be hotter. It will come to the coolest month, coolest time in Saudi Arabia, because it rotates through the season. In our part of the country, Ramadan comes, now it's in July, which is a hot month. But it rotates through the month. One day it will be in January. In fact, I have fasted already in January. I have fasted in December because it rotates through the season. Nevertheless, it carries this name that's been translated, it says extremely hot month, Ramadan. When we are extremely hot, we are inclined or tempted to lose control. Cold weather make us draw up and make us want to get to where we can warm. You hardly ever see people in cold weather fighting out in the street. When the weather gets hot, you see them arguing and kicking each other in the face out in the street. The same people who were fighting each other in the hot months, on that cold winter morning, they'll be standing close to each other waiting for the bus. The cold weather doesn't raise the temper. But under heat, we're irritated. We're irritated. And we lose our dignity. Many times. The religion of Al-Islam, the message of the Quran, which came to Prophet Muhammad in the month of Ramadan, is intelligent guidance that serves as discipline in the life of the person and the society to protect us under adverse conditions. When the situation is most trying for the mind and the spirit, if we recite Quran, if we keep our mind on the Word of God, if we accept with intelligence the guidance of God in this Quran, then we will have that protection against the temptation to become ignorant, violent, vulgar, etc. During this month, we fast the daylight hours and we eat during the night hours. A sign that this world's activities are offensive to us. We must abstain from this world's activities. And it is when our consciousness turn from this world and come in the dark, so to speak, that we begin to think seriously about what God wants of us, what our life should be. And during the night, we begin to eat. This is symbolic, and it has been withheld from the common people. The Muslim community has withheld the knowledge from the common people. But I give it. I don't withhold anything that I get. And if it was for me to withhold, I don't believe I would get it. Dear beloved people, food in Scripture has a double meaning. In fact, every verse of the Quran has a double application. It has an application that's very easy to understand, or that's readily grasped by the intelligent, God-fearing mind. And then it has another application that is understood by reasoning, by analytical reasoning. It is understood. One is explicit, means very clearly given in literal language or in the language, and the other is implicit, that is, the meaning is hinted, is hinted, it's implied. There's a hint there, but not clearly expressed.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
You've been listening to Imam Wahd Din Muhammad.
The book you've been waiting for is here. The book that unlocks all the mysteries of yesterday and today. A dynamic book of clear understanding. As the Light Shineth from the East by Wahd Din Muhammad. This new book is filled with interesting and thought-provoking topics like
the evolution of the Nation of Islam,
Dr. Farad Muhammad,
human development,
crime,
elimination,
corrupt language,
culture,
America,
the beauty,
and the beast,
the Honorable Elijah Muhammad,
and many, many more.
As the Light Shineth from the East by Wahd Din Muhammad will amaze you, will humor you, and yes, even shock you. Get your copy today. To order, send $2.50 plus 50 cents handling and postage to WDM Publishing Company, 4855 South Woodlawn Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60615. Act now while supplies last. Immediate delivery. Special discount rates for schools, bookstores, and commercial businesses. As the Light Shineth from the East by Wahd Din Muhammad, the book of the year.
Tune in next week at the same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Wahd Din Muhammad Speaks. Produced by the American Muslim Mission.
Bismillah, assalamu alaikum, dear brothers. This is alhamdulillah. There's more to come. There's about a minute and a half gap between now and when it resumes again with the commercial and the opening. But the imam has about...
easy to understand.
About 25 minutes more to this lecture. Alhamdulillah, may Allah continue to bless you today and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wahd Din Muhammad, with part two, continued from last week's broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar Rahmanir Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
We greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Dear beloved people, food in scripture has a double meaning. In fact, every verse of the Quran has a double application. It has an application that's very easy to understand,
or that's readily grasped by the intelligent, God-fearing mind. And then it has another application that is understood by reasoning, by analytical reasoning. It is understood. One is explicit, means very clearly given in literal language or in the language, and the other is implicit, that is, the meaning is hinted, is hinted, is implied. There's a hint there, but not clearly expressed. Those who are familiar with the New Testament, you know that Jesus, even after he was supposedly had been killed, met the people, and he said to his people, after he had been crucified, according to the Bible version, we don't accept that, he said, "I hunger." He wanted food. "I hunger." And the Quran says of Jesus and his mother that they both had to eat their daily food. They both had to take daily food. Now, the explicit message here is that they were human beings just like we are. They had to eat food just like all other human beings. But there is another message here to those who understand the metaphysical language of Scripture, or the symbolic language of Scripture. There's another message here, meaning that they both ate, they both had to be educated and guided by the revelation of God. That his mother and Jesus both was guided by the word of God. Their food was the same food that the Muslim has to eat. What is our food? Our food is the Quran. What is our drink? Our drink is faithfulness. Our spirit is cooled. Our spiritual appetite is quenched by what? Righteousness. Nothing else but the right attitude of the conscience will bring the person to a spiritual state that is satisfactory or pleasant for him. Those who are spiritually tormented, they are spiritually tormented because they haven't come in the right spiritual state of mind. And nothing will bring them to that right spiritual state of mind but an innocent attitude, an innocent disposition. Don't be self-righteous. Don't be boisterous. Don't be proud. Don't think that you are it and nobody else is it. Don't think you know it all. You know nothing. Come submissively with an innocent heart. Come righteous, and you will get the correct spirituality. God will bless you with the correct spirituality. And it is your faith. It is your faith that will water or feed the correct spirituality for you. Yes, your faith. When the correct faith, when the faith is purified, the intention is right, therefore the faith is right. The belief is right. When the faith is purified, then your spirituality will be quenched. The fires of it, the pain, the agony in your spirituality will be quenched by the gentle rain of correct faith. So purity is what we need. Purity is what we need. And we recite the Quran all during the month of Ramadan for 30 days, this 30-day month. How many of us take time to consider what this month means? It's the ninth month of the calendar. Ninth month of the calendar. And it has 30 days. How many of us take time to try to understand what it means? Those who don't take time can never be imams indeed. They can only be a preacher, like every other preacher. But those whose minds are attracted to the wisdom of the Quran, and they are not satisfied to just read over things and not understand what they are reading, those people will eventually be blessed by God. If they keep the right attitude of heart and mind, they will be blessed by God to be leaders. Imam means leader. Some of us think that imam is just one to come up here and recite a hymn to you and make a dua or something, pray with you. No, he's praying ahead of you because he's your leader. That's why he prays ahead of you. There are some who want to deny the Muslim community of leadership. so that they can exploit, manipulate your ignorance, manipulate you through your ignorance and your innocence, and exploit you for their own gain. And they will make you think that, oh, Muslims don't have no leader. We have no priesthood. No, we have no priesthood. We have leadership. The priest leadership is not balanced. Priest leadership is split. He represents just the spiritual side. We don't have a priesthood, and he claims authority that is not open to everybody else who qualifies. They have their own private schools for the priest. There's no private school for the imam. He can study at home if he wants. If studying at home will qualify him to take the position of the one who studied at King Abdulaziz University, he takes the position of that one who studied at King Abdulaziz University. Yes. We have to understand what this religion is all about. This religion is a religion that dignifies the whole person. You can't have material dignity and be immoral. If you are financially successful and you are an immoral person, you have no human dignity. And if you claim righteousness and does nothing, and do nothing, pardon me, to improve upon the financial part of life, you're still not dignified. Dignity for a Muslim is a total dignity. It is the dignity of the total person, the whole person. All of this can be realized by us if we simply give our mind into obedience under Allah. The Muslim, when you pray, you put your forehead on the ground. Shouldn't that suggest something to you? That you're putting your forehead, your forehead represents the most advanced part of the brain. The part where the conscious is operating. And you put that on the floor. Shouldn't it suggest something to you? It should suggest to you that your intellect, that your own mind must submit to the guidance of God. Let the Quran guide you, and you will be successful. Don't think your rational faculties are foolproof, that you cannot make mistakes. You can make many mistakes. And the way to correct the mistakes of your mind is to first correct the state or attitude of your heart. The heart has to enter first. Then the mind can come in. Fasting in the month of Ramadan, the ninth month of the calendar. Let me again say to you that this month is a month of purity. It is a month of purification. The Muslim is expected to practice self-restraint for God's sake every month, every day, every minute. But there's a special month set aside as a sign to those people of the book, Jews and Christians, that the purity that was promised did not come to the Jews, and it did not come to the Christians. It came with the last prophet, the fulfillment of scripture, Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, peace and blessings be upon him. It came to him. We are told in the New Testament that Christ Jesus was sold for how many pieces of silver? For 30 pieces of silver. You who read the Bible, or you who are serious when you read scripture, I'm sure you're aware that silver is another term for purity. Silver is a term for purity. And we are told, I repeat, that Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. What kind of purity? If silver represents purity, then what kind of purity was Jesus sold for? He was sold for spiritual purity. For spiritual purity. The month of Ramadan is a month that symbolizes the need for spiritual purity and the blessing of spiritual purity to the believers, to the Muslims, and to the world. In this book called Quran, which was revealed in the month of Ramadan, we need spiritual purity to survive the heat of sin, corruption, lies, malice, and all the other evils we can think of that sometimes grow in a society. We need spiritual purity to keep ourselves insulated, our shield from those evils. No one can get it otherwise. He must have the correct attitude of heart, the correct attitude of heart, in order to survive the temptations of a sinful environment. You see? So Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, so the book says. And we see that the message of Christianity has been a message of spiritual purity. And the way they interpret spiritual purity really makes it impossible for them to attain spiritual purity. They interpret spiritual purity as being an attitude of faith without rational or conscious discipline. They say, just believe on Jesus and be saved. And everything that was once called sinful is kind of ignored. The drinking of alcohol that was once sinful is ignored, treated very lightly. Oh, it's okay to drink, but drink in moderation. No sin in drinking, just drink in moderation. And if you drink, there's nothing that says, now if you drink in excess, you will be sinning and you will not be a good Christian. So since the alcohol is legalized, Christians go on drinking without feeling any sin, without being conscious of a sin. They go to church sometime half drunk. They come back and they drink and drink and drink, go back to church, drink, 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 back and forth. Fornication is also committed, which was before a sin. Adultery is also committed, which was before a sin. Gambling is also committed, which was before a sin. So those things that were listed as major sins before the European religion of Christianity become things that are passed over, ignored in the European Christian society. Dear beloved people, they have not gained that purity, although they say Christ represents purity. But everywhere the Christian society has gone, they have brought greater sins. They have brought more adultery. They have brought more fornication and adultery. They have brought more lying and more stealing and more gambling and more killing. They have brought more persecution of the innocent. They have brought more torment and corruption in the life of the individual. This is history. You don't have to do anything but read history to bear witness to that. In fact, you don't have to do anything but just reflect on what you have been living in this world here in your own life to understand that. The month of Ramadan for the Muslim should be a month of jubilation, a month of great jubilation. We should be so happy to come into the month of Ramadan when we know what it means, that the purity did not come to those before Prophet Muhammad. The purity comes to Prophet Muhammad and to the followers of Prophet Muhammad. They didn't get the 30 pieces of silver. They didn't get the purity of God's Prophet, and they didn't get the purity of society. It comes in the month of Ramadan in the form of the Quran, the book that is pure. No corruption is in it. No defect is in it. No crookedness is in it. No crooked person can enter it. No crooked person can touch it. You might say, well, hand it here, I can touch it. You don't understand. You can touch it with your hand, but you can't touch it with your intellect. No, Allah has blocked it. He has locked the crook out of this Quran. The wicked, the sinful, and the crooks are locked out of this Quran. If you read it, you won't be able to follow it. You won't be able to meet its message. You won't be able to meet its wisdom. You will wander about and go further and further astray into your foolishness. That's the punishment of God. And isn't that a just punishment? Something pure should be for those who are innocent, those who are well-meaning. And it should punish those who come in as a thief. And it will. Dear beloved Muslims, Allah has blessed you here in America. And you should be jubilant. You should be joyful in this month of Ramadan. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may he rest in peace and may Allah forgive him all his sins and mistakes. He started us to fasting in the month of December. And for better than 40 years, we were following him in the religion he called Islam. It was because he pointed us to this universal book that is for all Muslims that we are now fasting the month of Ramadan in the proper time or in the proper month. How many of you here once followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Let's see your hands. Will you look back? Everybody look back at the hands. Do you see who came out here today on the first day of Ramadan? It is those who followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Shouldn't that be a sign to the immigrant Muslims? Shouldn't that be a sign to those who will not identify in this leadership? Shouldn't that be a sign to them that God's hand is on this? That God has protected this community? That the hand of God has been on this community before my time? This should be a sign to them. I didn't look at your faces, I just knew. Anytime there's a big group like this on a holy day, I know most of you follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. How many of you here don't follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad anymore because I have changed your mind by God's grace? Look at the hands again. Look back there. All right. Isn't that a sign? That's a sign that Allah has been with us here in America, protecting us and creating the circumstances to bring us upon the path of dignity and progress. Oh, yes. And we shouldn't forget the history of our growth. It didn't start 5 years ago. It didn't start with me. It started long, long time ago. This represents the completion. This represents the arrival at the destiny. This represents the arrival point. But it is not the whole journey. Yes. And I say to all of you, this is a direction, or this is a destiny, not for us exclusively. It is a destiny for all the ex-slaves in America, for all the descendants of the slaves in America. This is the destiny for them. Why do I say that? Because we were cut off from tradition, from history, cut off from family guidance, cut off from our religion, whatever it was, cut off from everything of our past life before being brought to America. And we were put at the mercy of a harsh environment, an enemy environment, an oppressive environment, an environment that said we were subhuman and told us to stay in our inferior places. We were put in such an environment without knowledge, without education. We didn't bring books of learning with us. If we had those books, the slave traders would not have allowed those books to come in with us. They would have stripped us of all the education of all the books that we had. They would have stripped us of those things. They didn't allow us to come in with anything from the past. So all we had was what this hostile enemy society at that time offered us. That's all we had. Now, where can you find? And this is why I'm your leader. Because I don't come to you from part of the truth. I come to you from the whole truth. Where do you find in the history of a people a case of cruelty against a people like you find in the history of our enslavement here in America? Nowhere in the history of a people do you find a case of cruelty against a people to equal what you find in the history of our ancestors here in America. Because in our history, you find a people have been thoroughly robbed of their naturalness. Thoroughly robbed of their naturalness. Not only robbed of their past history, their past dignity as a people, but robbed of their naturalness. Thoroughly robbed of their naturalness. Of people who go about in a quiet subconscious fear, obeying white rule, just as though white rule was God himself. Of people who had been conditioned to accept a white presence of God in their life, and had been conditioned to reject themselves, their image, their naturalness, as a curse upon them. Where do you find the likes of that in history?
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
You've been listening to Imam Wahd Din Muhammad.
The book you've been waiting for is here.
Try to talk. joy until the power of this gift is